Morning, in Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number one. We had thought we were going to preach on something else, but God just kept bringing us back to a verse here, and I just feel this is where God wanted us to be this morning, so we will be preaching here from Romans chapter number one. Your page is still a rustling. When you find Romans chapter one, stand if you would, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word, if you're able to stand. If you're not, we understand that. We're going to begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of God? We've just come through one of the most sought after and revered days in our nation, Thanksgiving. But isn't it amazing how soon we become so unthankful? So soon we forget. On Thursday, everybody was sitting around the table talking about all the things that they were thankful for. But then on Friday, they were running over one another. They were killing one another. They were fighting for one another, for all those things that they just had to have. One of the greatest dangers we have in our lives is becoming unthankful, forgetting. Thankfulness isn't about one day. Thankfulness is about every day. God isn't just to be looked at as our provider, the one who meets our provision and is blessing us one day. But God is the God who blesses us every day. And in everything, we're to give thanks. And we can give thanks because we know the one who blesses us. In verse 21, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." You know, there's a danger in becoming unthankful. When we become unthankful, we forget who God truly is. We lose sight of God. We lose sight of his provision for our daily life. The Bible tells us we don't have to worry about things because God knows that we have need of things. And God provides for us as we have need of. He said He would supply our daily need. But we are so unthankful when we don't get our wants. We act like a bunch of spoiled children because we don't have the things that we want, or we can't keep up with the Joneses. He never told us to keep up with the Joneses. He told us to keep up with Jesus. For even two were you called, because He died, He suffered, He left us an example that you should follow in His steps. And I was going to quote that, but I realized my mind went blank on me for just a minute. It does that at times. It's all in there. Mine's like a steel trap. Just sometimes it gets rusted shut. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps." The only one that we need to worry about keeping up with is Jesus. Amen? Following Him, trying to be more like Him. But we become unthankful, and there's a danger to becoming unthankful. What has happened to America, the America that I grew up in, the America that I knew as a child, is that we have become so unthankful. People aren't as grateful for the little things that they get anymore as what they once were. People don't care for the things that they have as much as the things that they want. And there's nothing wrong with aspiring to have better and to do better. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. God shows us great examples of His people. Abraham was one of the richest people that ever was. Amen. In his time, he was a wealthy man. Job was the Bill Gates, or who's the guy that owns Amazon now? Bezos. He's the richest man in the world now. He was that man of his day. I believe he was the richest man of all the men of the East, the Bible says. I don't believe there was anybody as wealthy as what he was. Solomon was blessed so much, and he was so wealthy that silver wasn't even accounted as nothing in his day. It is said that they sprinkled gold dust in the path before Solomon as he went to the house of God to worship. I don't know about all this, but all I know is God is sure good to us. Amen. I know that God has sure blessed each one of us where we are, but there's a danger in becoming unthankful. There's a danger in losing sight of God's blessings to us. And I want to look at what the Word of God tells us here for just a few moments that we need to be mindful of. And as we go on past Thanksgiving, let's don't get past Thanksgiving. Amen. Let's be thankful every day. Let's be thankful every moment. Let's be thankful for the good times and the bad times, the hard times and the easy times. In everything, give thanks, because they're all for a purpose in our life. And we can use all these circumstances and all these things that we go through to realize God's goodness and His blessing to us. Look in verses 18 to 21 as we read our text here. It tells us that we stand in danger deteriorating spiritually. We will deteriorate when we cease to acknowledge God and cease to be thankful for the things that He's given. Look, it says that God makes His presence known. He makes His self known. The things around us. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 19, it says in verses 1 to 6, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and a circuit unto to the end of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." The psalmist tells us that his glory just speaks to the whole world, and there's no place, there's no man upon the face of the earth that can't see the glory of God. The Bible tells us in verses 18 to 21 that God manifests Himself. God makes the things known that in this world that we can know that He is a God, that He sits on the throne, and that He is still in control. But the problem is we get down to the place where we don't want to acknowledge God. We don't want to submit ourselves to God. Pride is one of the greatest enemies of God that there is. And that's what caused Satan to fall. It was his pride died, when he stood in heaven, and he looked at God, and he wanted to be like God, and he wanted not just to be like God, but he wanted to be God, and he wanted to dethrone God, and he built himself up, and he puffed himself up, and he led a war in heaven with a third part of the angels of heaven trying to depose God, and he lost that battle. And I wanted you to know something. You can war against God in your pride in this world here that you live in, and you'll be defeated just like Satan was. Amen. He tells us plainly that we deteriorate spiritually, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart darkened. You know, when we fail to see God for who he is and what he's done, when we fail to acknowledge God's blessing upon our life, and we start thinking vainly of ourselves, and we begin to think about the hours that we work. I've got all this because I've worked all these hours. We start thinking vainly about the home that we live in. I built this home, and I've done this, and I've done that. We think vainly about the positions that we have achieved in life. Well, I've got this title, and I've got that title, and I'm a doctor of this, and I'm a PhD in that, and I'm so far above everybody else. I'm so much smarter than everybody else. I have so much more knowledge than everybody else. And we get the eye problem, and we get puffed up in our own vanity, and we start thinking of ourselves vainly. We start thinking of ourselves more than we are, more than we should. And we lose sight of who we are. God says we let our vanity drive us away from God. We become vain in our own imaginations, and we think of ourselves greater than we should. And pretty soon, we relegate God to a back seat. We relegate God to another place. And pretty soon, God's not as important in our lives as he is and as he should be. Amen? We got him relegated to some other place. And now that because God isn't the one who is our anchor, he's not the one who we see as our sole source of everything that we possess. And let me say, God never put any man here on this earth to do nothing. Even Adam and Eve, a perfect man, a perfect woman, in a perfect world, with a perfect environment around them, there was no sin, there was nothing that was imperfect. Everything that God had made was good. Amen? Had a job. Amen? See, God can and does and will reward us for things that we don't do sometimes. But he's never said that we're to do nothing and to sit back and wait for him to pour his blessings out upon us. He tells us that it's necessary for us to be industrious. He encourages us to work. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians, the apostle's letter to the Corinthian church there, he said that it's reported that there's some among you that won't work. He said, I got news for you. He said, if they don't work, they shouldn't eat. Right. Amen? You know, we've got things out of skew because we forgot God's word. We forgot God's plan. But God had a plan for us. God had a purpose for us. And he wants us to do things, but he wants us to be dependent upon him. Amen? Even though Adam and Eve were in a perfect world, in a perfect place, in perfect bodies, they had a perfect relationship, they were still dependent upon God. But when vanity slipped in and the devil came in and said, didn't God say you could have all this? They said, well, we can have anything but that. He said, all but God knows when you get that, you'll be just like him. What happened? Vanity jumped right in, didn't it? The switch was flipped. Man, I can be just like God. I can be a God. You know, that's what so many religions promise people today. You follow us, you do things our way, and one day you're going to be a god, and you'll be just another god. You'll be like one of, you know, in India, I think they got like 10,000 gods. They got a whole plethora of them, you know. I guess everybody that dies has the opportunity to become another one of their gods. But they got 10,000 deities that they worship in Hinduism. Seventh-day Adventist. Or not Seventh-day Adventist, I'm thinking about the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. If you study out Mormonism in its whole, their whole premise is that if you follow and you do what Mormonism tells you to do, that one day you will become a god just like God. You will have your own world. You'll have your own. That is the final. See, most people, they don't hear that. Most people don't get taught that. But that's the end teaching of Mormonism, is that one day you're going to be a god. And you're going to have your own world and your own universe, just like this God that you're living under right now. Well, friends, God said, there is no other God besides me. He said, there is no other God. See, in vanity, we want to have and we want to be what we're not. In vanity, we forget who supplies all that we have. That's why America has become so unthankful. As a nation, we're so unthankful for everything that we have because we always want more. There's never enough. We're never satisfied. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, but vanity tells us that we don't need to be satisfied. We need to be like the Joneses. We need to be like this one. We need to be like that one. We can have better. We should do better. There's nothing wrong with striving to have more, but when we leave God out of the picture, we got a problem. Amen. And that's just exactly what happens. We forget God. And then we lose our thankfulness. You know, when you wake up every day and you can't thank God, we become just like what Paul's teaching about here. And in case you haven't realized it, in case you didn't see it, Paul is teaching about the progressions of decline in a society. He's showing us what happens and how it happens. They know God. Most people you talk to will tell you they believe in a God. Matter of fact, you've become a Mormon if you believe in God. You become a Mason if you believe in God. The problem I have with Masonry is they don't care what God, just as long as you believe in a God. I asked some of them, they tried to recruit me. I said, well, just what God do you believe? Well, it don't matter. I said, yeah, it does matter, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Amen. They teach, just as long as you believe there's a God, it don't matter what God. Well, Krishna is worshipped as a God. Krishna's not going to get you there. Dagon was worshipped by the Philistines, and he couldn't do nothing, but every time the Ark of the Covenant got before him, they found his statue prostrate before the living God. Amen. Many served and many went after the practices of Baal, and Baal couldn't do nothing because Baal was just an image that was carved by hand. He was just an image that man worshipped in his mind, but could do nothing for the heart. Molech was a god of the Amorites, the abomination. God calls him of the Amorites, and many believed in Molech. As a matter of fact, they believed so sincerely in Molech that they were willing to offer their kids on the fire as sacrifices unto Molech, just like we're doing the unborn in America today, and God called it an abomination, but there was no salvation in Molech. The only way that man found salvation was in Jesus, and you can build it up in your vain mind that you can do whatever you want to, you can be whatever you want to, and you can live however you want to, and you don't have to be thankful to an omnipotent God. But let me tell you what, you're barking up the wrong tree. You're barking up a tree of spiritual deterioration, spiritual degradation. Amen. Gradually, you'll tear down. Look at America. The more America turns away from God, the more unthankful people are become, the more America turns away from God and acknowledging God's truth, acknowledging God's hand in our lives and upon our lives, the more we see the devil and his crowd begin to prosper and to go forward. The more we see God pushed out, the more unthankful we become. The more unthankful we become, the more heathenistic as a nation we become, because we lose our spiritual identity with God. Oh, they can know all about God, but they don't acknowledge Him as God. They can know all about God, and they can talk all about God. The politicians can talk about God all they want to, but most of them wouldn't know God if He sat down next to them in the church pew. Amen. People, and where you let something happen in somebody's life. I've told you about an individual that every time a tragedy hits, man, she's calling. She has no time for God unless a tragedy strikes. Well, struck again. I know this is wrong, but please pray, please pray. I'll pray for you. It's not wrong. As for prayer, I'll pray for you. But you need to get your priorities straight. You need to get God in the place in your life where He needs to be. Let a tragedy strike in your community. Let us try 9/11, man. When they attacked America, let's pray. But a short time later, it was back to the same old thing. Let's pray. But now we're Islamophobes, and now we're gun-toting, Bible-toting, this and that, and we don't like, we're just strange, and we're individuals that they have no time for the spiritual matters. They don't want the truth of the Word. We're studying in Jude. In Jude, and as Jude has written this letter, it's a letter he wrote to the church. In verse 8 he says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." Man, if you follow God, if you're a man of God, you're in their estimation one of the lowest forms of life that there is today. In verse 10, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Man, they attack here just a few weeks ago, right before this election, or right when this election was going on. Some guy that I'd always been good friends with, man, he just attacking our Christian beliefs and our Christian thoughts. You Christians, ought to practice what you preach. Well, we do. It's you that don't. Amen. Y'all practice tolerance. Well, how about that unborn child? You're really intolerant of him, aren't you? You say, well, you don't accept this, you don't accept it. No, we can't. We won't, because it stands contrary to the Word of God. Amen. We'll stand on truth. Let God be true and every man a liar, the apostle says. Amen. I'm going to stand on the truth of God's Word, and I don't care what the rest of the world does. I want to maintain my spiritual relationship. I want to maintain my spiritual walk. I want to maintain a spiritual knowledge, not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want Him to be on the throne of my heart and not just in the throne of my mind. I want Him in my life every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Thanksgiving Day. I want the world to know that everything I have, everything I am, everything I own, and everything that I can aspire to be has to come through and by Him. I want Him first, foremost, in everything in my life. I want my spiritual life to grow day by day, moment by moment. I want to be closer to Him today than I was yesterday. I want to be closer to Him tomorrow than I am today. I want to be more like what He wants me to be every day. And I want my spiritual life to reflect Him, and I'm thankful for the privilege of calling Him my God, my Lord, and my Savior. He said they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. He's either God or He's not. Amen? He's either going to be God, or it's just another name. But secondly, we not only see the spiritual deterioration, and their foolish heart was darkened, but in verses 22 to 25, we see the intellectual deterioration. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, the smarter and the more knowledge that man attains, the dumber he gets towards God. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, he said, knowledge is the principal thing, therefore get knowledge. He said, but with all thy getting, get understanding. Knowledge and wisdom of things without understanding where the things have come from. Knowledge and understanding of things without giving credibility to how the things have arrived. Knowledge and wisdom in itself without realizing that God gives us the ability to learn. God gives us the ability to achieve. You know, God made mankind in His own likeness and in His own image. And I don't serve a stupid God. Amen. I serve an intelligent God. I serve an intelligent Creator. He made me, and He made mankind like Him. As a matter of fact, in the book of Genesis, we find out that man became so wise and man was so intelligent that God had to put a hindrance to his being able to work together, and He stifled the languages. Amen? Why did He do that? Because God said man would be so wise. Man has become so smart that if I don't hinder him, he can build this tower into heaven. He can build something that's going to hurt him. He can build something that's going to cause him a problem. God knew what he needed. But we think we're so much smarter than God. If you turn back into the book of Job in chapter number 38, you're going to see that God can put some questions to man that man can't answer. Man tries to answer. Man thinks he has the answer. We think that evolution and everything else and the Big Bang theory and all this stuff are the way that things have transpired, and we go in complete opposite of what God's Word has said. Every ancient civilization that has existed upon the earth puts the age of this earth about the same time as does the Word of God. That's no coincidence. Amen? That's just not a happenstance. That happened because that's how far back man can literally trace the existence of man. Every ancient civilization just about in existence today can trace back to a great flood, a great destruction. As a matter of fact, the archaeological evidences of it are all over the world. From the Tibetan mountains to the deserts in California, the evidence of the flood is everywhere. But man tries to explain all this away. Oh, the earth is billion. How many are tired of seeing the commercials for, what's that, Sun Yin, whatever it is. How many have seen the commercials on TV for Sun Yin? And you, how many are sick of seeing them? It's the Chinese program. But you know what that program's all about? It's about civilization. It's about how civilization 5,000 years ago was formed. Huh? Kind of matches the Bible. That's from ancient China. Amen? Kind of matches the biblical timeline, don't it? Amen? Shin Yun, that's what it is. I forget what it is, but you see, it's all over the place. But they tell us all, no, the world is billions of years old, and this was that, and we can date this. So, well, how do they date it? They date it through things that man has created. God has given man great wisdom, but sometimes man's wisdom isn't as great as what they thought it was. Amen? Let me explain something to you. The Bible has always taught that the life was in the blood. Amen? Before medical science realized it, they thought the way to cure somebody was to bleed them. You know what George Washington died of? He didn't die of the flu. He died of being bled. They went back and they've looked at the record of the physicians that was attending him, and he was being bled. They bled all the blood out of him. He died from a lack of blood. But that was science. That was the practice method of medical healing in its time. And then one day somebody realized that the Word of God was right, that the life is in the blood. We can't take the blood. One day, the realization is going to get hit home that man's not quite as smart as he thought he was. Amen? That all these things that we have taught and all these things that we have practiced, and man has been learning this throughout the centuries, that what is science in one generation, what is science in what dispensation of time proves to be fallacy in another. But one thing that's never changed is thus saith the Word of God. Amen. When man thought the earth was flat, man, they told Columbus, if you sail past the pillars of Hercules, the Gibraltar, if you go past Gibraltar just a short ways, you're going to fall off the earth. You know, there's idiots today that are trying to teach you flat earth again, you know what I mean? And when man was upholding that as science, God's Word said, He looks upon the circle of the earth. Mm-hmm. Amen. God's Word said the world was round. Mm-hmm. When science of mankind said it was flat, said you would fall off it. God's Word is so full of truths that we overlook so many little things that we take for granted. And we think that we're so smart, and we start pushing God out of the picture, and we start being unthankful to God for what He's given and how He's created it and how He's provided for it. You think all these new diets and everything, the way that we should eat and the new dietary plans that have come out are something new. Go back and read God's dietary plan for His people. Amen? Isn't it what they're kind of modeling, the things that you should be eating today to be healthy? Just saying. Amen? Science hasn't just figured it out. Or science may have just figured it out, but God's had it in His Word all along. Amen? The things that are going to benefit us, the things that are going to hinder us. But we think we're so smart. We think we're so intelligent. We push God plumb out of our lives. We push God plumb out of the picture. He asked Job over in Job 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? We want to challenge God. We got a society that wants to challenge God, and they have no knowledge of God, and they have no knowledge of what He can do. Because they're wise in their own conceits. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Well, wasn't there a big bang? Wasn't no big bang. The only big bang there was God spoke and bang, it happened. Amen. Amen. That's big bang. Who hath laid the measure thereof? If thou knowest, or who stretched out the line upon it? You can go on down and read all those questions over in Job 40. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgments? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? See, we want to push God out. We don't want God to have a part and have a place, because then we're answerable unto a God. We're dependent upon a God. And if we don't feel that we have to answer to God, we don't have to be thankful to God. Let me tell you what, Thanksgiving Day isn't just one day. Thanksgiving Day needs to be an everyday affair. Amen. It needs to be something that's practiced by every Christian, every born-again believer, every day of your life. And if you don't have anything else to be thankful for, I don't care if they got you chained in a prison somewhere, awaiting your execution, waiting for the moment when your life is going to be snuffed out in this world. You can be thankful that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord because of the blood of Jesus. If you don't have anything else to be thankful for, God loved you so much in that while you were yet a sinner, He commended His love toward you. He showed His love toward you. He demonstrated His love to you. How? He sent His Son to die in your place. Amen. I don't care how smart you get. You can't outsmart God. I don't care how smart you get. You can't disannul God. God will still be God when the world is on fire. God will still be God when this world as you know it ceases to exist. God will still be God, no matter what the intellects and everyone else says. Here we argue about global warming. I'm so sick of hearing about global warming. I know a lot of people got rich because of global warming. Amen. And what kills me the most is the people that clamor the most about global warming are probably the ones that have the largest, what they call, carbon footprint. Are, in other words, they're participating in the things that cause global warming more than anybody else. Amen? It's kind of like communism and socialism. I've seen some young school kids, college kids or something, holding up a big poster on Facebook and said, we want communism so where everything is equal. Have you ever looked at a communist nation? You know, there are only two levels in communism, those that rule and those that suffer under it. Those in power and those that aren't, that's communism. There's no equality in communism. See, there's no equality in this world. God is God, and God is so far above us. God is so far removed from us that he don't even... I mean, he's so holy, it should be blasphemy for us to even speak His name. But yet He's so close. Job said He hung the constellations, Orion and the Pleiades. God hung them in the sky. Job said He set the foundations of the world in place. He can pass by and make it tremble. And yet I can't not perceive it if He don't want me to. But praise God, the same God that done all this is just as close as the mention of His name. The same God that has done all this is the same God that will come around you. And He's there to put a hedge about you and to protect you and to keep the devil from assaulting you, keep the serpent from biting. Well, we've become so intelligent. But He tells us here in these few verses that our intelligence deteriorates to the place where we serve the creature more than the Creator. I love this old earth we live on. It's home right now. I'm a pilgrim passing through. Amen. But it's not more important than my God. It doesn't take his place. I love the things that he provides for me, the things that he gives me. I am a blessed man. Amen. I'm not just a blessed man, I'm an extremely blessed man. I'm not just an extremely blessed man, I'm a man who's blessed beyond measure. I'm a man that's blessed beyond an ability to tell you how blessed I am, because there's not enough words in the dictionary. There's not enough time left in eternity for me to tell you how blessed I am. I just know that I'm blessed, and all I can say is I thank God for his blessings on me. I thank God for being so good to me, and I hope I never get to the place where I worship the things more than the one who's given them. We deteriorate spiritually, deteriorate intellectually, and we deteriorate morally. If you look in society, you can see the moral decline that has taken place. Why? Because we've disannulled God in our lives. Why? Because we've relegated him to a place of unimportance in our lives. Why? Because we're no longer thankful for what God has done and what God has given. Now we're looking at everything as to what's in it for me and what's owed me. It's all about me, me, me. We've allowed the self, the vanity of self to push us into the place where our moral character has deteriorated to where it's no better than what we consider the animals that live around us. Amen? Man, you don't believe it, just go and watch. Go and look. Go and look at the way people dress. Look at the way people act. No civility. Man, people getting shot in a shopping mall over shopping on Black Friday. What in the world in that store is so valuable, so worth an individual's life? Read of people, young kids that used to be killed because they had sneakers of a certain kind, and somebody wanted to kill somebody over a pair of sneakers. Friday morning, I guess Jimmy's your second cousin, right? I don't know how many seen on Cecil County crime blog or whatever come up, but Jimmy Biddle Jr. My boys went to school with Jimmy. They're related to my wife, the Biddles, on her grandmother's side of the family. Was killed by his nephew. Shot several times. Died at home. Why? Don't know, but probably over nothing. Probably over nothing whatsoever. Probably a useless killing. In Baltimore this week, a 5-year-old girl was shot because people down there shooting themselves up. There's nothing wrong with guns. Guns aren't the problem, people. It's people that are the problem. And for all those that may be here and may be anti-gun, let me say this, and then put it this way, and I'll tell the politicians, when you're willing to tell me how much you care about life, we'll stop abortion. When you're willing to tell me how much you care about life, we'll stop alcohol. More people were killed by alcohol in the state of Maryland in 1 year are affected by the alcohol, and it's not only the drunk drivers, not only other people, but because of that, diseases caused by alcohol, the diseases that are brought. I believe more people die in the state of Maryland in 1 year than are killed in America because of gun violence. So when you want to talk about how much you care, let's get down about how much we care. It's just a picture, just a snapshot of the moral decay in America. Life means nothing. Life means nothing. We act like animals. I don't like to go anywhere where there's crowds. I never have, really. But today I just say, well, you're just letting people keep you from having a good time. Good time ain't worth dying over.
Amen.
Amen. A good time ain't worth putting my family in jeopardy and in danger over. A good time ain't worth leaving my kids fatherless and motherless. It just ain't worth it to me. So I generally avoid worldly crowds. It's amazing to me. You can go to the mall. You try to get out of the mall. Man, go to the mall on Black Friday. And, man, you almost want to have a presidential limousine that's bulletproof because everybody gets mad about everything trying to get in and out of the mall. But you can go up to Sight and Sound. I don't know. There's a couple thousand people in there for every program. And when they let out, you don't see no... I've yet to be in there, and I don't care how crowded it is. I don't care how big the crowd is and how many people are coming in and out. And, you know, you got people coming out, but you got people coming in getting ready for the next show. Amen? But you never see that kind of attitude. You never see that kind of stuff going on. It's a difference in people, folks. People who hold the Lord up and people who hold the world up. Our moral character is defined by our relationship with God. Look at what he says in verses 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. What cause? Because they worshiped not God as God. Because they were unthankful to God. You want it your way? You can have it your way. You know what? God hasn't changed. You want it your way? God will let you have it your way. You want to live like an animal? You can live like an animal. You want to act like an animal? God will let you act like an animal. You can have it your way. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their woman to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in her lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Oh, God will let you have your own way. God will let you do it your way. God will let you crawl as low as you want to. He'll let you crawl under the lowest rock. He'll let you sink into the lowest pit. He'll let you get just as low as you want to. But I want you to know something. The same God that will let you get down there is the same God that will bring you out. The same God that showed you the way. The same God that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life is still the same God. Even in your darkest hour and in your lowest moment, that will redeem you and bring you up out of the miry pit, out of the horrible clay, and set your feet on the rock. Be filled with all unrighteousness. Listen to this. See if this don't describe an unthankful nation. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, we talked in Sunday school this morning about one of the problems in America today is our kids haven't been taught respect. We put our kids in the wrong place. Now, my wife and I have argued about this. See, she was spoiled growing up. I thought she was a spoiled brat. But, you know, when I was kids, and I was a kid, the adults ate first. And then the kids ate. How many are old school it was that way in your house when you grew up? Amen. A lot of the old times. The adults ate first, and then the kids ate. But we've twisted that around to where the kids got to eat first, and then the adults eat. What was the very thing, and I brought this up and said, what was the very thing that God criticized the Pharisees for? Changing them roles. Because you know what it taught? It didn't teach respect for the parents any longer. It didn't teach respect for the elders any longer. It didn't teach respect. It didn't teach patience and waiting. It didn't teach a whole lot of things. So now we have generation after generation that has come up, and now we've got to the place where we've got what we got. And why we ask, well, how did we get here? Because we stopped doing things God's way. Amen? See, a moral decline isn't just in sexual perversion. A moral decline isn't just in the drug epidemics. A moral decline isn't just in all these things, these big things. And we preached about that a couple weeks ago. We always like to go to the extremes and look at the big picture. The moral decline came when we stopped teaching things according to God's word. When kids aren't taught respect for authority. When kids aren't taught respect. Man, kids today don't even respect their own parents. Man, I see kids today talk to their parents, and if that would have been mine, you can ask. I got one of mine sitting back there. She can tell you I slapped her right in the face for back-talking her grandmother one day. Right in the mouth. I said, don't you ever, ever talk to your grandmother like that. We've lost God's place in our heart and life. How, here's what I brought up in Sunday school. How can we expect kids that don't have a respect for their mother and father? How can we expect kids that don't have a respect for authority, parental authority? How can we expect kids that have never had to wait for anything to respect a God that's omnipotent? Respect a God who's all authoritative. To respect a God who gives us things in our time and in His time. Little by little. Little by little. He gives us as we can deal with it. We become unthankful. We've degraded in every aspect of our being. When we forget to be thankful, we need to get up every day, and the first thing that needs to be in our heart and mind is an attitude of thankfulness to God. When we lay our heads on the pillow at night, the first thing that ought to be in our hearts and mind is an attitude of thankfulness to God for getting us, bringing us through another day. All His blessings. The man that wrote that song, Thank You God for Your Blessings, as the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. How many of you know the story of that song? I know Jim. The fellow that wrote that song was in prison, in a work camp, working. Didn't know about Jesus and got saved. Amen. And penned the words of that song while in prison. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. Paul and Silas in prison sang psalms and prayed to God. The disciples, when they were scourged for preaching the gospel, praised God and gave thanks. Have we lost the spirit of thankfulness? Don't leave it. Don't leave it in the last Thursday of November. Amen. Amen. Now don't leave your thankful heart and your thankful attitude and your thankfulness to everybody and running around telling everybody how thankful you are on Thanksgiving Day. Let every day be a day of Thanksgiving.